Today on The Topping Show, Matt Walsh goes viral for his video noting the average IQ of Somalians, an obese woman says working 80 hours a month is too much of a requirement for food stamps, Donald Trump to save us about $1,000 per new vehicle thanks to more deregulation, Democrat Representative Pramila Jayapal says USA was built by Somalians and other immigrants, I review the top cheapest SUVs to three rows for sale in the United States, and Grizzly Industrial, well, they recalled their heavy-duty planner because, whoops, it might just hurt you. All of that and much more on The Topping Show. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to tune in today. Today's episode of The Topping Show is proudly sponsored by Topping Technologies. Topping Technologies is an IT value-added reseller and services company with a special proficiency in IT security. Heck, I see their founder at least twice a day. Guys, he's quite handsome and brilliant. He's me, you see, that's the joke. If you're an IT leader or business owner, reach out to the team at sales@toppingtechnologies.com. Also, still giving away a free flamethrower with every IT purchase with Picatinny Rail adapters. Come out to any standard AR-15, like all awesome accessories can be. Go to toppingtechnologies.com and click the flamethrower button to learn more and see if you should get a flamethrower. And lastly, trying to get to 6,000 subscribers by the end of the month. So if you can click that button and tell your friends and your enemies, I would greatly appreciate it. Now going over to the business part of the podcast, I review the 10 cheapest three-row SUVs to buy in the USA brand new if you feel so inclined. Now this brought to us thanks to Motor1.com, specifically Chris Tasui, who is a writer over there. And I should give you a visual disclaimer. They're mostly very visually disgusting beyond all belief because they're three-row SUVs. But without too much further ado, again, credit to Chris at Motor1.com. They say, quote, 10 cheapest three-row SUVs to buy in 2026. I don't think he's joking. He says, from the handsome Hyundai Palisade to the Ford Explorer, these are the cheapest three-row SUVs you'll be able to buy in 2026. Spoiler, I don't recommend most of them. The first one is... let me pull up Chris's summary here really quick. It says, so you need a new car with seats everywhere from 6 to 8 people for whatever reason. The three-row SUV is the way to go. Despite transaction prices being higher and higher than we've ever seen, they're still there, still will meet your budget. Here are the top ones to start, still around about $40,000. He says, number 10 is the Hyundai Palisade at $41,035, which I would say gets an F- from a visual appeal. It looks like a bastardized Tron vehicle, I don't know. They say, you know, kicking it off with a starting price of $41,035, including destination, 2026 Hyundai Palisade. Entering the second generation, Hyundai's ball on a budget, three-row SUV, rocking a whole new look, even more tech than before. Great, things that can break, and a hybrid variant. They say the 41 grand base price gets you the V6 gas model, which would be the most reliable one. I highly recommend going that route. If you want to buy a hybrid, which again, the batteries will depreciate like a Mercedes, that costs $8,085 more. So you get short, you get better fuel economy in short term. So he says, yeah, that's number 10. Number 9. Yeah, looks slightly better. Volkswagen Atlas, which I'm pretty sure you could probably get that discounted by 50%. I think they sell 3 per year. I'm only partially kidding. I know one person who has this. But nevertheless, again, the Volkswagen Atlas starts at $40,785. They say it's just a few hundred dollars more than the Palisade, earning its 9th place on our list. VW's 3-row SUV starts at, again, $4,785 for the base SC, and it's the oldest car here. It's received 2 facelifts since its debut, but at its core, the car has been around since 2017. When we drove back in 2021, the nicest thing we could say about it was there's nothing glaringly wrong about it. And maybe that is my own bias showing, but buying a big family car from VW, a brand historically known for plucky small cars like Golf and Beetle, always felt like ordering pizza from a steakhouse. You could, and they'll make it for you, but why? Which, yeah, I could understand his perspective, kind of be more of a purist and a sports car fan. Same thing with Porsche, which again is owned by Volkswagen Auto Group under that umbrella. Porsche is known for the iconic 911, obviously. They have an SUV, which actually had a stick shift at one point, which is kind of really cool, rare, and unique. I wouldn't mind getting one of those if I had to get an SUV. But yeah, for a Volkswagen, there's nothing wrong with it, and it doesn't look too bad. It's got a nice little red paint job there. Obviously, it's an automatic transmission, so trash. Now, you also have number 8, the Mazda CX-90, which looks as bland as the average Mazda. You know me, the only Mazda worth buying is the Miata. Great fun sports car, has 3 pedals, 4 cylinders of glory. Can't go wrong. With the SUV, I don't know, it starts at $40,330. Now they say, quote, flash $40,330 on a 2026 Mazda CX-90 and you'll likely have much better time. First introduced a couple years ago as a CX-9 replacement, Mazda's three-row SUV comes standard with a mild hybrid, turbocharged 3.3 liter straight six powertrain, which a straight six is great in a BMW. That's kind of where it belongs, at least to me. They say there's a more expensive plug-in hybrid version that'll save on fuel. You know my thoughts about hybrids, but that increases the price quite a bit. They say the CX-90 is proof that drivers can come in many forms. This is likely one of the most fun vehicles to drive, which it's an SUV, it's a low bar, so I suppose maybe. Now, this probably won't be the next one is probably one that I'd avoid the most because it has a blue oval of death, also known as the Ford logo. It's the Ford Explorer, which that not only will depreciate like a rock. I mean, a Ford vehicle is great if you have a great relationship with your Ford technician and you like seeing the Ford dealerships. There's some great people that work there. I mean, by now, they're probably your friend if you own a Ford vehicle because they've had 138 recalls this year thus far, and there's still time for them to get even more before the year rounds up. Now, again, this Ford Explorer will cost you $40,160. And he says, quote, "The last car here to start at $40,000 is the 2026 Ford Explorer and the seventh cheapest three-row SUV you can get right now. A base active 108 model can be had for $40,160 after freight. This generation of Explorer debuted in 2019 with a refresh in 2025 and a new front end and bigger screens inside. The standard engine is a 2.3-liter EcoBoost Turbo 4. Jeez Louise. Again, a turbocharged four-cylinder engine is great for a Honda Civic Si. I love my four-banger. An SUV? I don't know. To me, it's got to have at least six. Now, they do say you can get a twin-turbo 3-liter V6, but that comes at the $55,000 ST model, which... true deceptive advertising, the coolest car you see. Yeah, you know, starts at, you know, 40,000 as configured on that screen right there. You can see the ST little logo. Yeah, that's $55,000 for a Ford SUV, which, I mean, you're debatably that's slightly better than taking your money during winter, pouring some gasoline on it, and lighting it on fire for some temporary warmth. Debatably is slightly better use of your money to buy this vehicle, I suppose. Now, another unreliable piece of trash. Jeep Grand Cherokee, or as I call it, the Elizabeth Warren Special. It starts at $38,830 for, yeah, your Stellantis-owned Jeep SUV. The only Jeep worth buying, I think, is the Wrangler. Also kind of biased because that comes with the fun stick-shift option. And even those, geez Louise, are as unreliable as a Ford. But nevertheless, they say, quote, "Available for under $40,000, the 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee L starts at $38,380 for the base Laredo 4x2. We should note that Jeep gave this SUV a refresh in 2026, but has not yet announced pricing for that, which, again, it's not just their fault. They'll probably increase it due to inflation. I understand the thing as well. They say power comes with a 3.6 liter Pentastar V6. Engine carries over from next year's base Laredo. The big update is the available Hurricane twin turbo, making 324 horsepower. Yeah, that Hurricane straight six engine is trash. Talk to any Jeep Dodge dealership. And yeah, Stellantis is putting that engine in everything, which that's not unique to them. Most major manufacturers will do that. But yeah, they're having issues with that straight six turbo engine. So I would say stay the hell away from that. Number five is the Kia Telluride, which has a funny name. It starts at $37,885. They say, coincidentally, the 2025 Kia Telluride is about to find itself a similar position with the Jeep, ringing in at right under $38,000 for the base LX. The fifth cheapest three-row SUV here. However, a redesigned next-gen version recently debuted. Just like the Hyundai Palisade platform twin, the 2027 Telluride is available with a four-cylinder hybrid. While also offering a big luxury XUV for decidedly normie SUV price. You talk yourself to this deal if you so choose. They say it's a great bang for your buck, which, to Kia and Hyundai's credit, same company, they do have the best powertrain warranty. I believe it's still 10 years and 100,000 miles. That's phenomenal. So again, that is so boring because it's an automatic transmission. That's one of the few semblances. And again, the qualities come a lot more. The opposite of that is the Nissan, which, yeah, at least Nissans do have BAE energy, I suppose. Yeah, the Nissan Pathfinder at $37,790, which I would argue is one decimal place too much. Like for under $4,000, I'd buy that. Actually, no, I probably not even at that price. But nevertheless, you have the Nissan Pathfinder. They say precisely $95 less than Telluride. You can get the 2025 Nissan Pathfinder, which, yeah, right. Yeah. $95. I would spend thousands of dollars more just to not own a Nissan right now. They're so unreliable. maybe the 400Z. That'd be a fun car, twin turbo with the stick shift. I'd get that, but even then, I know it's a risk that I won't get to work. Now, they say again, the Pathfinder was an all-new for 2021, but dates continuing the powertrain exclusively by naturally aspirated 3.5 liter V6, which that's pretty nice, get a naturally aspirated engine in there. I have the Hyundai Santa Fe at 36,400, which, yeah, again, with that warranty from the factory, it's pretty good. They say the first SUV dipping into the mid $30,000 territory is also the third cheapest three-row SUV for sale, the 2026 Hyundai Santa Fe, going for about $36,400 for a base SC. There's a three-row Hyundai you can get when you don't need luxury, size, or payments of the Palisade. That to say, isn't a nice vehicle in its own right. Radically reworked back in 2024, the current Santa Fe rocks a very boxy, very Land Rover-type design. It has a 1.6-liter hybrid available, with a standard 2-liter turbocharged 4, which, I don't know, it's still a lot of strain to put on a 4-banger. They say it's a solid item. If a little anemic to the drive, the Santa Fe's value proposition mostly comes from the three rows of seats for a two-row price, which, yeah, I kind of agree with that. They have the Kia Sorento, which, God, that looks bland. I swear car companies get silver paint for free. They say, in a similar way to the Kia platform mate, the 2026 Kia Sorento starts at $33,635 for the base LX, making it the second cheapest three-row SUV you can get new. Like the Santa Fe, the Sorento is available as a hybrid or gas-only model, but unlike the Hyundai, there's also a plug-in hybrid model here in the U.S. that starts at $50,000. This generation of Sorento has been around since 2020, but a 2024 facelift gave it a new look, modernized look inside and out. It says it'll be far from the most exciting thing you drive, but if you're looking for slots and seats and lots of tech for the money, the Sorento deserves your attention, which, debatably. And of course, you have number one, which, I wouldn't recommend anyone buying. Mitsubishi Outlander, which people keep forgetting. Mitsubishi, yeah, they're still somehow in business. Despite all odds and making mostly bland, boring vehicles, they are still around. Though long are the days where they were some of the greatest cars. The Lancer Evo, the Eclipse. The Fast and Furious really propelled some of those vehicles to popularity. And in terms of pop culture, every time I hear Mitsubishi, let me know if you think differently or if you don't think of this. I always think of the King of Hill, where Cotton, Hank's dad, saw Mitsubishi. He's trying to sell him a canoe. And he refused to sell him the canoe to the Mitsubishi guy because he sees the Mitsubishi. And in the TV show, Hank Hill's dad was a World War II veteran. He sees the Mitsubishi, goes, Mitsubishi, they made the planes to bomb Pearl Harbor, which technically they did. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries used to encompass many divisions, including automobile and including airplanes, which, yeah, in World War II, yeah, they did. Now, this starts at $31,140. They say the undisputed king of three-row affordability, however, is a 2025 Mitsubishi Outlander with a scarcely believable starting price of $31,140 for a base front drive ES, including destination. It's seven-seater, got a solo update for the year, even more refinement with Yamaha audio. I haven't heard that name bragged about in a while in terms of like a car audio system. They have great exhaust though. Now they say, quote, don't let the often forgotten badge and bargain basement price fool you. This is a certifiable, well-conceived crossover. It's not. This general user interface and driving experience both feel as though they're real, though been put in them, and available SAWC all-wheel drive system packs a serious pedigree. The cheapest three-row SUV on the market is a massively underrated car, and even rarer these days, a genuine value play, which, again, I'll give them kudos in terms of engineering something to a price point that is really aggressive and still somehow making a profit. But again, it's also a Mitsubishi. This is one of those things where, they're not nearly as bad as Nissan in terms of global presence and, possible viability, going out of business sometime soon. But, this is one of those things where you can't but think, just save a little bit more and get a more reliable vehicle. Just get yourself a Honda or Toyota. If you need to get an SUV, that'll last you, 200, 300, 400,000 miles. Again, I would love to win the lottery and buy a now vintage Mitsubishi Lancer Evo. Those things are awesome. The engineering, the quality were amazing. But again, if you need an SUV, I wouldn't get a Mitsubishi Outlander. They just do not have the reliability. Because of this whole list, I find it obviously boring as hell, but I know they're very popular. People love them, so I thought I'd do a review for y'all. I stay away from Ford the most, all of their recalls. If I had to choose, and I don't want to. Well, actually, trick question. If I had to choose, Oh, well, not reliability. I just was joking about Mitsubishi. Porsche does have slightly better reliability than Mitsubishi. I'd get a used Porsche Cayenne GTS with a stick shift and V8. They're hard to find. You gotta search for them like a diamond in the rough. And even used with 100,000 miles, they go for like 40 grand. Again, if I get an SUV, you know me. I gotta have my three pedals. That's how, I mean, I know it's kind of cheating saying I just get by used for the same price, but let me know your thoughts, which one to at least choose, because I'd be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Now, going over to the Cultural Part podcast, you have Matt Walsh going viral, noting the IQ of Somalians on social media. He's also reacting to, almost looks like a brochure or a little TikTok of why you should visit Somalia, which, spoiler alert, there's not many reasons, though I'm sure they'll try to make some up. I don't know anyone who goes looks at their destination passport and goes, I really want the stamp from Somalia. I can visit their great museums and awesome factories where they make awesome products. Yeah. But this is a credit to TikTok. Let me crank up the volume here. Another reason to watch on, well, listen to on the Spotify or the Apple Podcast or Rumble, because they won't take the music out. In this case, I mean, this music is, well, terrible. So they're saying they're representing, while they're, like many countries not here, they really like soccer. There's a soccer player. That's not Pele, so, or what's the other guy? Or Ronaldo. There's like two players you need to know in soccer, then you know them all. It's like there's two players worth knowing. So here's a soccer player, a gal in the scarf, hijab, Mogadishu. It's a place they have buildings. They have UFC fighters. The joke, and I never placed money in terms of like betting on the UFC. I've won a lot of gentlemen's bets though, like when hanging out with friends. Good rule of thumb for the UFC. The more you cannot pronounce someone's name, the higher propensity there is that they will win that match. 90% of the time, I win those handshake bets because I root for the guy where I can't pronounce their last name. Now, granted, you might argue with my speaking ineptitudes, I can't pronounce most names. Fair point, but you know what I mean. They got a USC fighter. There you go. Says chase success. Says never chase a runner, a bitch. That's a pretty pejorative term. I suppose rap has gone to their country. They have some gals wearing the scarf doing some dancing. More soccer players. They have a president, which I'm sure no one knows or cares about. Mask off. So they have a soccer stadium, which is a theme everywhere in the world. Yeah. Now Matt Walsh responded to this. Now this was posted, and he's responding to A Boom 16, who says, "Quote: Whites are jealous because they don't compete with Somali excellence," which was a real tweet. And actually, looking at his tweet. He got 3 point, again, the Somalian guy got 3.2 million views, and everyone is just laughing obnoxiously. And they also know this person who posted it was based in Kenya, and Matt Walsh responded, and Matt Walsh says, quote, "The average IQ in Somalia is 68, which is below the line for mental retardation. 7 out of 10 Somalians live in poverty. Their per capita GDP is $1,000. USA is $90,000. Somalia does not have a functional waste management system. The tallest fully construction building in the country is 10 stories. So where is the Somali excellence really?" Unquote. Which, I mean, the video did say they have soccer players in UFC, which, again, that is a form of excellence, though it is interesting to debate how do we define excellence? How do we define extraordinary in terms of countries' achievements throughout the ages? I would say, you know, lifting people out of poverty would be an exceptional metric. Obviously, we thank capitalism for that. United States especially. Well, we used to be manufacturing where we were the OG. Think of Henry Ford, who didn't invent the automobile, but he's one of the most brilliant inventors in history and entrepreneurs in history, fighting like hell to get that price point of the vehicle down to where the point where anyone could afford it. I mean, he was aggressive with that Model T. When I think of who changed the world, Henry Ford is definitely up there in terms of inventing the mass production automobile to the point where anyone could afford it. I believe he got the price point down to around $240. Now, again, that was back 100 years ago. But again, that's equivalent to, I extrapolate the data out. I think it's around $20,000 if you do the inflation from then to now, which, again, the average new price for a new vehicle in the United States now is $50,000. Again, that is an average. Imagine if you get a reliable Ford. Well, that's a long time ago. A reliable Ford for $20,000. It's almost unfathomable. That's amazing. But he fought so hard to get that price point down, it changed the world. When I think of, you know, defending individuals' rights, liberties, and freedoms, well, Second Amendment is one of the most important things. It's one of the most unique things about the United States. God made man. Samuel Colt made man equal. It's a good old Colt. They used to be one of the largest companies on the planet, headquartered right here in America. He invented the repeating revolver, changed the world. I mean, in terms of freedom of speech, most technological innovations when it comes to social media, granted they are being kneecapped by the government, but in terms of the essence of who invented it, I think that's another big contribution to humanity. Most medical innovations in the United States, most things for telecommunication technologies in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of exceptional things we do. If you want to get into sports balls, gold medals, we collect a lot of them. It's one of those things where there's a lot of excellence in the United States. And Matt Walsh, and again, I believe, again, the average IQ in America, or for Americans, rather, is more toward 89 to 90-ish. And granted, it's been going down. I can't help but think we spent trillions of dollars with the Department of Education to get lower test scores every year, but perhaps another topic for another time. And then again, it's one of those viral things, culturally speaking, as well as politically speaking, I'd say in the past 3 or 4 months, especially as we've seen, corruption, as well as, well, abuse of women and children in places like Minneapolis, where they very much have highly dense communities or dense communities of Somalians as Democrats have imported them en masse. And again, some of it is illegal immigration as well. Some of it is illegal. And Matt Walsh is really at the forefront calling this out. Now, he's also ignoring some other things that are going on, but can't help but think they wonder that's probably who he works for. But nevertheless, Matt is on the forefront calling this out. And a lot of people in the United States are very concerned. Now, again, Matt got 1.1 million views for this and 25,000 likes. One of his most viral tweets of the year. The first comments comes to us thanks to Amelia Henderson. It says, quote, Somalis are helping America thrive. And then there's this, she doesn't give the source of the statistic, but it says 42.8% of Somalis are on food stamps getting 89 likes. Now, another issue that I think you'll probably in the comments, but the average cost to the U.S. taxpayer per Somali, again, this is an average, is $1.1 million per Somali. Again, some of them, again, a lot of people come here, they work like hell, they contribute to society, they are a net benefit. And there are some Somalis who, they work like hell, they get a job, they pay taxes, you know, state, federal level. They're contributing members to society, like, fiscally speaking. And that happens. But again, the average is a cost of $1.1 million. When we're $38 trillion in debt, thanks to the corruption and or ineptitudes of Democrats and Republicans. So unfortunately, she didn't give the actual citation for that. But yes, many of them are also on food stamps. Now, talk about the shoes on the other foot, but apples to oranges, maybe. If you're a U.S. citizen, who is on the most food stamps is usually white folks who are citizens. Now, again, that does adjust maybe per capita, though. Mia Henderson also says, you're right. There's a map from, well, someone by the name of European Maps. It has a map that says average IQ in Africa, and they have, you know, Somalia right there with the lowest, getting 57 likes. The conservative alternative says, quote, immigrants should add value to a country. Somalians do not. The debate is over. It says average IQ of Somalian is 68, which, again, IQ, mental retardation, is 50 to 70. Which also reminds me of Family Guy when Peter Griffin was, like, at 69 or something like that. He was, like, right below the line. They called him P-tarded, but another topic for another time, perhaps. They got 34 likes. Now, again, that's not all of them, though. There are some that are exceptional, contributing members of society. Again, Matt Walsh is talking about concepts and averages. Mrs. B says, has a cartoon where you have a guy waving the Somali flag, or maybe it's Minnesota flag, can't tell the difference these days since they were weak and conquered and redesigned their flag. That Somalia first, proud to be Somalia. And someone from ICE goes, okay, buddy, go back to Somalia. He goes, oh no, this is not fair. That's an Indian accent. I can't do some accents sometimes. It's been one of those days. Says, don't send me to Somalia. Oh no, my life is ruined, getting 903 likes, which, yeah. Let's see. Some of them noting, again, trying to keep this moderately family friendly. There's a couple noting how they mutilate young girls as part of the culture. They got 600 likes. Mrs. B says, we are the governor now. It's Tim Wallace with the Somalian Pirates getting 204 likes. Ger Graphics, Ben Garrison says, quote, tell me again why they benefit America? Oh, you mean they benefit Democrats as a reliable voting bloc? You know, 135 likes, which, yeah. The American Culturalist says, Forrest Gump's IQ was 75 for context, getting 192 likes, which, I'll be honest, I've never seen Forrest Gump. It's one of those cliche movies like The Titanic or The Notebook where I've heard about it and I know enough parodies thanks to like Family Guy and stuff where I've never actually sat down to watch it. I don't know, should I? Maybe I'll do a live stream of that or something. A lot of them are bringing up the female genital mutilation, which again is disgusting that they do that there. Patriot Aaron says, if Somalia is so great, why do they all go here instead? You have some people by the U.S. wall, border wall says, let us in so we can be victims of the systematic racism and white supremacy, getting 361 likes. This is a good one. The cackly highest has a cartoon of the Somalian pirate from the movie. It says, look at me, I have your tax dollars now, getting 253 likes. Shane Shu says it's not a hijab, it's a diaper for people with shit for brains, getting 28 likes. A couple other people bringing up graphs with the average IQ per continent and per country. See, a lot of people have that cartoon of the guy saying, you know, I'm proud to make Minnesota Somalia, and then he gets deported by ICE. David Mark says, Somali pirates instead of the Minnesota Vikings, which, yeah, I mean, Minnesota's changing rapidly. I'm sorry, Minnesota, I purposely mispronounced it as a slight to that weak and conquered state. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. That I mean, they redesigned the state flag. Why not redesign their sports balls teams? It's not out of the realm of possibility. Again, they've also stolen, what is it, almost $1 billion from the taxpayer under the ineptitudes and or corruption of Tim Walz in that state. So it'll be interesting to see if this affects, again, it's obviously becoming a political it's a political and a cultural topic. It'll be interesting to see if this kind of stays at the forefront as we get closer to the midterms and if it affects elections. I mean, it's crazy to think a blood feud in Somalia affected U.S. elections. Again, the recent mayor, Mr. Frey of Minneapolis, won because Omar Fatih, who is a Somalian, legit, or he came here from Somalia to U.S., the Somalians in Minneapolis, some of them did not vote for Omar Fatih because there's a blood feud with his tribe against another tribe in Somalia. It is really crazy to think blood feuds in Somalia are affecting U.S. elections. I think that's insane, but let me know your thoughts because, as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Other interesting cultural news, you have a woman saying that working 80 hours a month is just too much of a burden to receive government food stamps. That's brought to us thanks to Ag New Wokeness, and I'm going to give you a visual disclaimer. You're going to see a gal who debatably looks more viscerally more disgusting than I, which is saying something. Oh! And, yeah, she's saying, they say it's not fair that you have to work 80 hours per month. Which is nothing. Now, this is a... Maybe she gives a very articulate reason. Obviously not. She's insane. Well, see what she has to say. Thanks to Fox Local News, which somehow Fox is still in business. I'm impressed.
I don't think it's fair that he do that, but...
And you were saying you think it's going to hurt a lot of people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely it's going to hurt a lot of people. Because you never know. You know what? Especially now that we are in the holidays and everybody wants to have a good dinner and everything. And if you don't give it to them, it's going to be really hard.
It's very sudden, and it will affect people negatively.
Oh,
no. People have to work for food and shelter? It's almost as if, you know, you don't get free shit in life. Shouldn't. It's got 1.5 million views, partially because it's so comical because she has five chins. And I'll do the caveat. It's funny. People will, well, only see the thumbnail, and they'll comment, say, how dare you? She might have a glandular issue. I would say there's a caveat. I know some people who are obese who have medical issues that make it very difficult to lose weight. There are some people who have side effects from pharmaceuticals that they have to be on, yada, yada. Where again, it's very hard or it's nearly impossible for them to lose weight. And they have all my sympathy. However, an overwhelming majority of Americans, the fattest country on the planet, are overweight due to a lack of exercise and their diet or lack thereof. And most infuriating pet peeve of mine is people say, well, if you're poor, you can't eat healthily. Ridiculous. I lived several times throughout my life below the U.S. poverty line. Go to Walmart, buy beans, rice, and cheap raw materials. And you could meal prep and make some really good food. Is it as deliciously addicting as the chemicals they put in other crap? No, not necessarily. But it's good for you, and it's affordable. And again, she's saying, oh yeah, 80 hours per month? I laughed at that because I remember my first part-time job. For 80 hours per month is nothing. And again, this is for people who are able-bodied. They introduced some requirements to the whole SNAP program or the food stamp program. They used to have no requirements in terms of, oh yeah, you can be able-bodied, you don't need to work. And again, there are some people who have some disabilities, they have some physical detriments, it might be hard for them to get a job. They might need to do some type of IT, you know, remote job. I understand there's certain situations. I also think that in terms of helping people, Churches and local nonprofits are infinitely more effective to help people than the bloated, inept U.S. government and or corrupt U.S. government programs, as we've seen them being abused time and time again. I mean, 80 hours per month is nothing. And again, not to toot my own horn, like, my catchphrase is 105 hours a week can't be beat. That's about how many hours I put into the two companies, my tech company and my media company, or, you know, my podcast. And to have someone say 80 hours per month is a burden, that is ridiculous beyond all belief. And the fact that there are people protesting saying, oh, yeah, you should not need to be, you know, if you're able-bodied, you shouldn't have to work yet, get government handouts. Yes, you absolutely should. Again, in certain cases, some of these are single parents. I understand that. They might need some, you know, daycare programs or assistance with that. Again, there are some nuances to everything. I'm talking about in averages. And have someone say, oh, yeah, 80 hours is too much per month. That's freaking nothing. That is so ridiculous. Even when I worked an hourly job, I worked at least 40 hours. Well, I'd work more than that, but I don't get paid for it because, you know, I'm one of those guys where I go above and beyond, and, you know, that's how you get ahead in life. And the fact that she's obese even more makes it more comical. And more insult to injury, because, again, the number one purchase category on Snap is Coca-Cola, or, you know, carbonated sugary drinks. And a lot of junk food. Which, again, they should not be able to buy. Now, again, this got 1.5 million views and 10,000 likes. One of the first comments comes to us thanks to End Wokeness, saying, quote, that's less than 4 hours per day, which, again, is nothing. It got 11,000 likes. Cash Loren says, I don't think it's fair for my tax dollars to pay for your obesity, getting 877 likes. Planet of Memes, though, again, I have to say this alleged Planet of Memes, because yet again, there's no meme, says, quote, the thought of someone having to work to eat, the audacity, getting 310 likes. The Conservative Alternative says, quote, this translation, you mean I actually have to contribute to society now? Getting 136 likes. Spitfire says, hopefully there's a crash cart within 5 feet of her wherever she goes, getting 137 likes, which, oh, dark humor. See here. Captain Santa, or Saved Santa Clara says, free Captain Solo? Oh, because she looks like Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. Getting 76 likes. Olzupa says, is she a legal immigrant? Getting 67 likes. Based Electrician says, quote, this woman spends more than 80 hours per month eating, which he has a screenshot of her and her many, many chins, getting 75 likes. America AF says, my goodness, the necks are on this thing, getting 335 likes. Lyricat Media TM says, don't like it, go back to Guadalajara, where you can work 80 hours and still not eat, getting 106 likes. Wow, this got 1,000 likes from Miss B. She says, Trump took my food stamps. It's a picture of Jabba the Hutt. Sons of Liberty 357 says, quote, looks like we could use a little physical activity to me. And he has a meme that says, we live in a society where people use a $14 phone to check their food stamp balance, getting 516 likes, which, yeah, that's ridiculous. That is also kind of a cliche metaphor people use when it comes to budgeting and cost of everything. And again, I think paying for a lot of things, especially if you're financing them at high interest rates, is really not a good idea. You should not do it, especially when it comes to extravagance you don't need, like smartphones. But yeah, it's one of those things where, I think it's more infuriating when they also get the free phones, too. It's like, enough is enough. Maria Isabella says, she already looks like she does nothing but sit around and eat, and all on our dime. And it's a cartoon of a guy saying, I have no problem with helping the needy. I do, however, take issue with funding the lazy. Getting 499, so I get 511 likes, going up like a stock. And again, I think that's the main point of contention. And again, she might have, again, giving her the benefit of the doubt, which these days I debate. Every time I do, she's like, they shouldn't deserve it. Nevertheless, she might have a glandular issue, or she might have some health issues. That makes it hard to lose weight. I'm very, very skeptical. But again, I think the main issue is she's complaining about working 80 hours a week. That's 80 hours a month. Again, that's nothing. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Maria Isabel says she can get her fat self up to do something for 20 hours a week. There's a picture of a bear and says, please don't feed the bears. It creates a dependent population, unable to take care of themselves. And the just position meme is, you mean like welfare programs, getting 454 likes, which, again, conspiratorially, perhaps, I think the government loves to do this because they get guaranteed voters for life. If you have someone who's dependent on the system for everything, well, they're going to vote for a bigger system time and time again. I think Democrats love these programs so much. You buy voters. It's bribery. And again, hopefully there's a lot more requirements and we can actually stop having people abuse these programs, but let me know your thoughts, because, as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Going over to the Political Power Podcast, Donald Trump to save us about $1,000 per vehicle with even more deregulation. That was brought to us thanks to TheDrive.com, specifically Andrew Collins. And I know I covered this earlier this week, but there's a little bit extra detail. And again, this is such amazing, great news for the automotive community. I think it's worth talking about a little bit more. He says, quote, Trump is gutting fuel economy standards for new cars and huge CAF rollback. The Trump administration claims this move will reduce the cost of new cars by almost $1,000, but is not specified yet how. There's a picture of the Ford F-150, the most cliche truck for a reason. Most people buy them. Automatic transmission, though, how boring is that? Now they say, quote, President Trump and Secretary Sean Duffy, auto executives and other addressed the nation from the White House to announce plans for rolling back near future automaker fuel economy standards set in place by the Biden administration. The American auto industry and the cars we can buy here in the coming years will be affected in a huge way. As a result, by the announcement, fuel management averages for automakers will now total just 34.5 mile per gallon by 2031, rather than previously set 50.4 mile per gallon, which, yeah. They say corporate average fuel economy, or CAF standards, refer to an average mile per gallon rating on an automaker across all of its lineup. The idea is basically, if a brand makes a vehicle that gets a lot of fuel, it should make cars that are more efficient. Such standards have existed since the 1970s and were significantly updated during the totalitarian evil overlord Obama administration. Okay, I added that last part. But they rolled back during Trump's first term and even more environmentally ambitious again during Biden's administration, which you debate if it's really good for the environment or not. You see, under Trump's direction, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is proposing to reduce fuel economy requirements for the model years 2022 to 2031, making the CAF requirement 34.5 mile per gallon instead of, again, 50.4. Which, again, one of the reasons these companies are making these, well, economically moronic things like EVs is to increase their fuel efficiency standards or averages, same with tailpipe emissions. Again, that's one of the reasons you see less V8s. Americans, I mean, it's nothing more American than a V8 and a stick shift powertrain. Debatably a V10 stick shift, the V10 engine with a stick shift and a Dodge Viper, debatably more, I don't know. But since it's where Ford almost had to pay a $1 billion penalty, I believe it was in 2024, because their fleet average for fuel economy wasn't to the arbitrary number the government pulled out of a hat. And again, that cost gets pushed on the consumer. They have to make these engines more and more efficient. And it's one of those things where a lot of it is at the detriment to the consumer. Not just do they increase the cost of goods sold to the consumer with increased regulation in terms of safety and fuel economy, tailpipe emissions, but it also makes the products more disposable. The biggest offender would be the diesel engine, which used to be a bulletproof piece of Americana you put into a Jeep or a truck. I'm sorry, a truck. I think that's how you have to pronounce the word. And they're great. Then you got the DEF fluid, which again, interestingly enough, all these bureaucratic laws, they're just kneecapping honest Americans, hardworking taxpayers. Government vehicles, those trucks, they don't have any of that crap because they want reliability. That's why it went viral a couple months ago. You had a military base Ford truck, and they looked under the hood, like, oh yeah, there's no catalytic converters, there's no DEF, all that crap. Because again, the DEF is basically, not to get too technical, keep it conceptual, it's like your engine throwing up on itself, and it gums up the engine. Now again, in terms of the tailpipe emissions, it drops, but then you have to carry that DEF fluid, and you also, well, increases the cost complexity of the vehicle, makes it less efficient, and it makes it so the engine won't last hardly at all. It becomes a disposable piece of junk. Which I would argue, that's one of the reasons I don't like hybrids or EVs, they are disposable. Now that technology might change, I always have to have that caveat, because tech does change. But I would rather have a good old Honda Civic with a stick shift and a good old 4 cylinders of glory and a turbo that'll last decades, as opposed to a disposable vehicle that'll last 8 to 12 years. Again, that's also better for the consumer. You actually have a product last that long, and Lord knows vehicles are already abhorrently expensive. A lot of people can barely afford them these days. Now, they continue to say, quote, as wild as those numbers sound, any changes to CAF regs at this point doesn't matter, since the one big beautiful bill passed summer eliminated penalties for automakers that missed targets, which, again, after they made that announcement, Toyota goes, you know what? The next Supra might just have a V8, which, again, if they had a V8 and a stick shift and a Supra, oh, now that would be awesome. If you get that reference, I'll die a little bit inside. Home Improvement, one of the best shows out there. And they say CAF changes will, however, make it more difficult to improve national fuel economy in the future. Oh, no. They say the government also wants to end some automakers' credits for fuel-saving features and eliminate credit trading among automakers, which would hurt Tesla because that's how they make a lot of money, selling those credits to other manufacturers. Another thing I hate again, it hurts consumers, is a cylinder deactivation crap. That's where they squeeze a little bit better fuel economy out of the vehicle and a little bit better tailpipe emissions, but it destroys your engine. It is one of the worst things you can do. It destroys your reliability. I hate those stupid things. Cylinder deactivation crap is terrible. And that's a good example of de facto regulation, because the government didn't say you have to use cylinder deactivation. However, to hit these arbitrary numbers, they had to think of new technologies, and that was one of them, to the detriment to the U.S. consumer, especially bad General Motors engines when they try to use that crap, as if they weren't are unreliable enough as is. But that's another little bit of technology that was forced upon the consumer for these. And it's, again, that's why I always tell people, the government, the Biden administration, wasn't technically banning the V8 engine. It was a de facto ban. Again, if you don't get these numbers, we're going to find you into oblivion. And yeah. Now, they also say, quote, Trump's messages revolves around the policy changing leading to reduced car prices for consumers. I guess thinking that there's automakers can charge less for cars since they'll no longer have to bother with the research development on pollution reduction. Well, again, also all the crap they have to bolt on. Can we just get rid of the catalytic converters too? I'm only partially kidding. They sound better and they used to get better. Yeah, I was going to say. Now they say, my guess is they'll be happy to see the development money and not bother by reducing car prices, but the White House official claims as follows. They say, quote, if President Trump had done nothing, the Biden standards would have raised the average cost of new cars by nearly $1,000 relative to the cost under the standards announced today. President Trump's actions will save American families $109 billion in total over the next 5 years. Helping more Americans buy newer, safer vehicles, this reset is projected to save more than 1,500 lives and prevent nearly a quarter of a million serious injuries through 2050. Which, again, that would be great. I kind of tell people in terms of peak reliability, cars seem to have topped off. I want to say around maybe to the 2000-2006 era. You had enough modern stuff like, you know, heated seats, maybe a USB to connect the phone for music. And there's enough tech to make it comfortable, but not detrimental, whereas more unreliable. And then they introduced, especially under the Biden administration, they introduced radical new policies, radically increased the cost of goods sold to consumer, even more unreliable. That's one of the things I work in tech, mostly cybersecurity, but like when it comes to cars, excuse me, I really don't like more tech because, again, it increases complexity, cost of goods sold to consumer. And again, that's why you had so many recalls. Ford had 138 recalls this year. Now, many of them were software. And then, you know, other areas too. But again, there's just more things that can break. Now, again, I know I'm one of those weirdos where, I'm okay with not having the latest and greatest widgets on the little tablets in front of your computer or your car, rather. But again, this is some great news. And again, the auto executives are usually pretty politically correct. They mostly smile when it comes to the administration, no matter who's in office, because they're scared to death about being regulated out of business. And the auto industry is one of the most regulated, I'd argue, overregulated industries in the United States and global, as we've seen with the draconian evil EU. But again, I think this is great news to the consumer. Now, the real question is, how much change will happen quickly? When, again, politically speaking, as this is a political issue, Democrats tend to love to increase cost of goods sold to consumer. If a Democrat wins the next presidential election, what if they just double? Let's say, we need the fuel economy to be 100 miles per gallon average. So then these companies will have to make pretty much nothing but EVs. And when you're making these factories, and again, the average life cycle for a vehicle is 8 to 10 years, and you're investing almost $1 billion when you start a new vehicle from scratch. That's a long roadway and a lot of uncertainty, which is why I hope, these car companies are lean enough to make these changes quickly. It'd be great if they're just all the diesel trucks just ripped off that DEF crap like right now. But that's why I'm a little apprehensive in terms of how much change will you see immediately? But let me know your thoughts, because as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Other interesting political news, you have Democrat Representative Jayapal saying our country was built by Somalians, as well as Latinos. And interesting, she seems to be going viral. Now, this is credited thanks to End Wokeness on X. And he says, quote, Representative Jayapal, Democrat, says his country is built by Somalians, as that's becoming a big cultural and political topic in the United States is the Somalian refugees coming here, and you're having a very much increase in rate in which women and children are being hurt in the worst possible way. So I try to keep the vernacular moderately family friendly. And this is also, again, credited to MSN, at least MS Now. This is a representative of Pramila Jayapal.
The majority of Americans across the country regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
Yeah. Not all. Now, again, historically speaking, we've seen a different demographic change to immigrants past hundreds of years. In terms of who built the country, well, a lot of those were the Irish, you know, back in the day. And again, there's been a huge shift, politically speaking, when it comes to immigration. Again, my family came here from Cuba. Well, my mom, I mean, I wasn't born yet, but in an instance. And again, we actually took an aeroplane. It's one of the last airplanes that left when Fidel Castro took over. Didn't swim. Beat you in the comment section, didn't they? But again, we came to the United States when there's pretty much no government handouts or benefits. We came here, or again, they came here, learned English, worked like hell, adopted the American values, learned about the Founding Fathers, waved the American flag, and they became red-blooded Americans and contributing members of society. I think right now we're seeing a huge discussion around immigration, partially because of the open border policy under the Biden Harris administration, but also you look at the cost, fiscally and culturally. One of the biggest topics, thanks to Matt Walsh, is the proliferation of Somalis being immigrated to the United States. The average taxpayer cost is $1.1 million per Somali. Again, as an average, some contribute to society, some of them pay taxes, federal, state, they are entrepreneurs. Again, some of them, we're talking, again, for the sense of these discussions, we're talking about averages. And she's saying our country was built by these folks. And again, that is partially what America was when, you know, back in the day, people came here when there's nothing. I mean, it used to be, you come here, the government just say, hey, we have so much land. If you just go out there, explore it and make it secure and safe, we'll give you some. And again, that's some of the various exploration stories of history. And we needed to build out the whole infrastructure in the United States. There's nothing here. When the country was first founded, or, you know, North America was first discovered, they did not even have the wheel here. So there's a lot of things that need to get done, obviously. And again, throughout history, yeah, immigrants are the backbone of society in terms of coming here, learning about America, the Founding Fathers. I mean, some of the best entrepreneurs in history are folks who came here and, you know, built businesses that changed the world. One of my favorite books is actually, let's see here. I think it is just called Papa, or John, is it John Papa? Where is it? It eludes me at the moment. It's going to drive me crazy. Where did I put that book? Trying to see where the entrepreneurs are. There's retail. Where on earth is it? Oh, that's not it. My ADHD is a... Oh, shucks. I think it is literally just called John Papa, but I was reminded by that because John Papa John, the founder of Papa John's Pizza, described his grandfather coming to the United States, you know, what was it, over 100 years ago. And back then, it was a huge risk. There is nothing here in terms of government handouts. There's nothing here in terms of a support system. You risked everything to come to America back then. It was literally a treacherous journey. And you came here, you worked like hell, and you achieved greatness. Nowadays, there's a lot of benefits, and even more abhorrent in some states. More benefits are given to illegals, and again, some legal immigrants, than U.S. veterans. Like, let's say California spent like $80 billion on housing for illegals, and not even $80 million for illegals, $8 million for homeless veterans. I think the discrepancy is why so many Americans are upset, especially now. There's also a lack of assimilation. They're waving their own flags. Minnesota, which I purposely mispronounced as a slight to that weak and conquered state, they're so weak and conquered, they changed their flag to look like Somalia's flag. Because again, they've imported so many Somali refugees. They've also stolen $1 billion in fraudulent tax benefits over there. And she's saying our country is built by them. Again, some of that is true. Look at history. I mean, again, some of the best founders and businesses on the planet were started because of immigrants. But they came here, one, they came here illegally. And it really was a risk back then. I mean, it was a treacherous journey. And there's nothing. Now, I think a lot of Americans are very upset. Again, the average American could barely make ends meet. And you see folks coming here, they're getting, you know, $750 per day room vouchers in New York. They're getting free phones, free food stamps. And a lot of people are just broke. I mean, a lot of people are barely making ends meet. They're seeing people come here and get everything for free. And they're seeing more and more people take their jobs as well. That's another kind of cliche thing in terms of history, but there is a truth in terms of some immigrants do displace some jobs. I think that's another point of contention in terms of why it's becoming a more political and cultural topic the past couple of years. Now, this is originally posted thanks to Johnny MAGA, getting about 175,000 views and 1.6 thousand likes. One of the first comments comes to us thanks to David Santa Clara, who says, quote, Who better to speak for a majority of Americans than Squints Pramaya Jayapal, in 515 likes. Planet Meme says, "Why isn't Somalia a first world nation?" Getting 171 likes, which they do have a football stadium. They got that going for them. Amelia H. says, "Diversity sucks," and she has a quote from Joyce, who says, quote, "Diversity isn't your strength. It lowers your wages, marginalizes your culture, increases your crime, fills your hospitals, occupies your housing, ruins your schools, consumes your taxes, tightens your laws, restricts your freedoms, endangers your children, and calls you racist." Gained 56 likes. Let's see here. She says, "High time," and she has a map that says, "Let Somalians go back to Somalia and make their country great." Gained 49 likes. But then who would elect mayors in Minneapolis? Alzupa says, "Jayapal was born in India." Gained 55 likes. David Sullivan, I'll respect his pronouns. His pronouns are Prosecutor Fauci, says, quote, "I think she means white people didn't let them destroy it." And it talks about the history of, yeah, making sure when the white Europeans moved here, they stopped things like child sacrifices and such. Darth Powell says, "The F it was. America was 80% European over 200 years, 1776 to 1980. Gained 361 likes. Crazy Flix says, quote, "America is not a nation built by immigrants. America was built by settlers. There's a difference. Settlers ventured out into the wilderness to build a civilization from scratch. The modern immigrant comes to a place that is already built. Settlers planted the seeds. The modern immigrant comes to eat the fruit. If you cannot see the difference, I don't know how else to explain it." Gained 508 likes, which, pretty apt metaphor. Amica says, "Shut the F up, bitch." And she shows one of the most famous photos from the 1920s, but this gentleman sitting on a when they're building a skyscraper, and they're sitting on one of the iron beams, no safety gear, not a care in the world, and they're, you know, white guys, back when men were men, smoked a pack a day and ate steak every night, and still was not morbidly obese. Getting 228 likes. Let's see here. Logan Hall says, "Allow me to explain your country's identity to you and how it includes me." It's I don't know who the character is. It's one of the musicians from Star Wars. Getting 223 likes. Crazy Flick says, "Why would 21 Democrat-run states refuse to hand over SNAP data if the illegal immigrants are receiving any benefits?" Getting 178 likes. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see. Heck, Trippy Troy has a picture of Santa, and he has a bag full of Muslims, or miniature Muslims, and it says, "All I want for Christmas is Santa to deport the Muslims." Getting 95 likes. Oh yeah, here we go. Construction worker at the Chrysler building in New York City in 1929. This is credited to Info Battle Maiden, saying whites built this nation. This is what happens when you let foreigners in your government. They try to take credit for everything you did, all to subvert your way of life.
There's a machine at the sign.
Yeah.
1929. Not a care in the world. Surprised that guy can move it all, those balls of steel. He's literally on a skyscraper. No safety harness. Nothing. Just sitting on a beam. Jeez.
Can I shoot it this time? Yeah?
Now, the structure. Is the machine at the sign?
Yeah, she's on now.
This is Local 6. What?
Back on a job here. How much steel is there? Well, it's 23,000 tons. Quite a bit of steel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy how much more efficient they were. Not the tools, but in terms of, like, building stuff. Now, granted, there's a lot of regulation in the United States now. One of the reasons things take a long time. They got 247 likes. Jerry LaBarge says, "Don't see Somalis here." That's one of the other iron workers, getting 10 likes. What? Darth Powell has an AI-generated picture of the Democrat representative. And says, "Arg, Somalis built this country, arg," and it's a pirate. Getting 42 likes. And again, I'll probably have to dive in the data. I would be interested to see in terms of the statistics on, you know, because again, for many years, they also look at the statistics on who starts businesses. Be interested to see kind of what that is within the Somali community. You also have Heartland Grump saying the United States was built by European Christians, full stop. We will not allow Democrats to rewrite history, getting 135 likes. But let me hear your thoughts, because as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Now, going over to the business blunder of the day, you have Grizzly Industrial. Now going over to the business, blunder of the day of Grizzly Industrial recalling their heavy-duty planters due to, whoops, impact and laceration hazards. Now this brought to us thanks to the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission, perhaps the only useful government website, though pretty low bar, and they say, quote, Grizzly Industrial recalls heavy-duty planters due to impact and laceration hazards, which, there you can see one of those planters right there. Now this is the GO81515 3-horsepower heavy-duty planter model. Now they say the chip breaker can contact the cutter head blades during use, which can cause the debris to be ejected from the planter, posing impact and laceration hazards to the user and bystanders, affecting 2,300 units. Whoops. They say consumers should immediately stop using the recalled planters and contact Grizzly Industrial for a free repair kit and installation instructions. The repair kit consists of an upgraded chip breaker adjustment rod, spacer, screw sets, lock washers, and lock nuts. And unfortunately, they did not get ahead of the recall. See that because Grizzly Industrial has received 7 reports of rotating cutters and planters breaking. Though upside, no injuries or deaths have been reported at this time. They're sold at Bibb Tool & Cutter, Hamilton Tool & Supply, DMC Tool Company, and Stoll Brothers Lumber Stores and other hardware stores nationwide, including HomeDepot.com, TractorSupply.com, and MaxTool.com, from June 2016 to September 2025 for between $900 and $2,400, which is obviously a pretty penny, imported and actually manufactured in Taiwan. And that is, yeah, one of the downsides when you have these heavy-duty machineries and you got blades spinning very quickly. Gotta be extra safe, and apparently they skip that safety step as well as the quality assurance department, which they allegedly have. And again, you have to be extra, obviously, you have to be extra careful when you're working these machines. And of course, they didn't seem to catch this recall. Again, no one got hurt, but it's already breaking down, folks. I gotta say, again, thankfully no one got hurt, but Grizzly, you are certainly the business blunder of the day. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to tune in today. Again, tried to get to 6,000 subscribers by the end of the month, so click that button. I greatly appreciate it. Also, give me a thumbs up, thumbs down, and comment. It's a great way to give me some additional feedback. Let me know how I can make the show better and better. Lastly, don't forget to take time to tell your family, tell your friends, tell your coworkers, heck, tell your enemies, tell everyone. Just stay safe and fight the good fight.